2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we'll begin reading with verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Down through verse 7. Second Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For as to their power, I bear record, yea, and behold their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty, that they would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. For this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. Father, we come before you thanking you for your love and your goodness. We thank you for your word that we can hold a copy in our hands and read from, study from, and hear it preached from. Father, we thank you for our pastor. We thank you and pray that you'll fill him with your power, with your spirit as he comes and preaches to us. And Lord, I just pray that you'll be with each and every one that's here tonight and ones listening by way of internet. And Father, I just pray that you'll speak to our hearts and help us to live and grow closer to you. And Father, I do pray for our country. I pray for everything that's going on and for the elections and everything that's taking place down in Georgia and in our whole country. And Father, I pray that you'll be with us and guide us and direct us and help us to bring honor and glory to you in all that's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen.
At our text tonight in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and talk about the principle of giving. God owns it all. He says to us in verse number 1, Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Let me just say this as we begin tonight, that giving is a grace of God. It's God's grace that saves us, but it's also the grace of God that gives us a spirit of wanting to give and to help, because our human nature is selfish, isn't it? It's to get. It's to find ways that people can give to us. You know, we turn that verse around and say it's more blessed to get than it is to give, you know, and we sort of feel that way. But it's a grace. God gives us that. And here Paul, the Apostle Paul, sending this letter to the church at Corinth, he says, I want you to be a part of this grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia and the grace of the gift that was given and God's grace on them. If you look at your worksheet there, I want to just begin in the introduction. There are four areas of giving in the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament and then carried over in the New Testament as well. But there are four areas, and I'll just mention them quickly, and then we're going to go down through the list of things that are given to you there. First of all, the first area of giving was tithes to operate the temple and to feed the priests. And the Lord here, if you'll go back for just a moment to verse number 7 of 2 Corinthians 8, and then we'll look at Malachi chapter 3. He says in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 7, he says, Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, in all diligence, in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. That this grace also, he's talking about the grace of giving. That which brings to us joy and pleasure and delight and sweetness and charm and loveliness. That's all a part of that word grace. He says, you abound in these other areas of your life, and he mentions them, abounding in faith. That's the conviction of the truth and our faith in the Bible and the Word of God and in the Lord. And then he says, abound in utterance. Utterance is our speech. It's the things that we say. When God blesses and does things for us, We are to abound in telling others about the blessing of God. Our salvation, we ought to tell others, amen, and be a witness. And then he says, abounding in knowledge. That's a deeper and a more perfect knowledge of Christ. As we learn to give, we learn more about the Lord and His giving spirit. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We get to know God better and have a deeper knowledge of Him. And then He said, abounding in diligence. The word diligence means to do something with speed or eagerness. You know, sometimes we don't think about giving speedily. You know, the Lord prompts us about something, and most of us, we kind of argue with Him a little bit, don't we? Was that from the Lord, or is that really the Lord? And I think we ought to ask God for wisdom and make sure it is the Lord and not just my emotions, but is God leading me, and is He a part of that? But diligence, speed, and eagerness. And then He talks about abounding in love, and that's the brotherly love and the affection, the agape love the Bible talks about. And then He says, abound in this grace also, abounding in everything, in verse number 7. So then he talks about this matter of giving. And I want you to go back with me to Malachi chapter 3. The first area of giving in the Bible that I want to mention is giving to operate in the Old Testament. It was to operate the temple and to feed the priests. If we put that in our New Testament terminology, we'd say to operate the church and feed the preacher. And that's a pretty good thing to do. And you all have been doing a good job of that. If you look at me, I have grown in grease more than I have in grace since I've been your pastor. But God has blessed and God has met our needs. So He talks about that in Malachi. Tithes were given to operate the temple and to feed the priests. In chapter 3 and verse number 10, you know the verse there. He says, let's read that verse out loud together, all right? Read it with me. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now God says there, when He's talking about the tithe, and by the way, the tithe means the tenth, it is 10%. We bring our tithe, our 10% of the increase of our income and the increase. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. He doesn't say you bring part of the tithe. He says bring all the tithe. And He says bring it into the storehouse. What is the storehouse? We'll look at the rest of the verse. That there may be meat in what? My house. So what is the storehouse? It's God's house. In the Old Testament, they brought the tithes to the temple. It was for the maintenance and the care of the temple and of those who were employed in the work there. And so the Lord says you bring all the tithe, you bring it to the storehouse. You don't send the tithe to a television preacher or a radio preacher, you bring it to the storehouse. And why do we do that? So there's meat in my house. That's how God takes care of the church. That's how He provides for the needs of the church. That's how we pay the electric bill. That's how we pay for the repairs and the building. And that's how we pay for the upkeep and all the things that are involved in that. And so you bring the tithe to the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. And then He says, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God says if we're faithful in bringing the tithe, He will be faithful in pouring out the blessings on us. And I challenge you, if you do not tithe, He says, prove me now herewith. In other words, put God to the test. Now don't tithe 1 week and say, okay, God didn't do this or this or that, you know. Proving, putting to the test, work at it, and be faithful at it. And so they brought the tithe, so there's meat in the house, to operate the temple and feed the priests. The second area of giving in the Old Testament is found, if you go back with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 25, the second area was to offerings to construct, build, and maintain. To construct and build and maintain. In Exodus chapter 25, if you'll look there with me, Genesis, Exodus, second book of the Bible. Chapter 25 and beginning in verse number 1. Exodus 25 and verse 1. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering. Of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, they shall take my offering. And this is the offering. By the way, he says there, of every man that giveth it willingly. Our giving ought to always be willingly. Amen. Not because somebody shamed us or not because somebody put pressure on us, but because we willingly love the Lord and want to obey Him. And so they brought willingly, with his heart he shall take my offering. Verse 3, and this is the offering which shall take of them gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair. Now, you don't have to find all those things to bring them into your offering. I'll explain that in a minute. And ram skins dyed red, and badger skins and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and from the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. What was God saying there? They were to bring the offering to provide for the building and maintaining and constructing of the place where the people came to meet with the Lord. And our offerings, our tithes, help to maintain the building and the structure. And I'm thankful that the Lord blessed us and impressed on us when we built this building to build debt free. And God provided the funds. And we had our first service here. It's hard to believe it's been 17 years ago. Our first service in this building, this part of the building, the building was completely paid for. And that's because of the grace of God and the blessings of God on His people and the faithful giving of His people. And so we give, but though the building's here, there's still maintenance that's involved and the things that are involved in taking care of that building. So the tithes to operate the temple and feed the priests. Secondly, offerings to construct and build and maintain. And then thirdly, giving to meet the needs of fellow believers. We talked about that a little bit others and our sowing account. If you look over at Acts chapter 2, verses 44 and 45, and the Lord speaks of that for us there. Acts chapter 2 New Testament church in chapter 2 and verse 44. He says to us there, "And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need." That's kind of the idea of our sowing account. We part to others as they have need. There are other people that have need. And it's a wonderful thing. And it builds faith. It builds love. It builds God's provision is seen. It builds faith in the Word of God. When we see needs and when God meets our needs through others, and when we have the privilege of helping others in meeting the needs that they have as well. So we give to meet the needs of other believers. And, you know, it's one of the things you need to keep in mind, and I do too, is I like to be the one who's doing the giving. Amen? But sometimes it's prideful when others are impressed by the Lord to give to me. If I'm not willing to accept and to let others help me, then I'm not fulfilling and letting them receive the blessing that God has for them. And sometimes in all of our lives, you know, we tend to be prideful. Well, I can handle this, or I can take care of that, or I don't need your charity, to use that word. And sometimes we can become prideful, can't we? And we don't want others to do something for us. And one of the things that I think of is that I want to be a blessing to other people. But I don't want to rob other people of receiving a blessing when God impresses on them or when I have a need. And sometimes I have needs and God impresses on people to help to meet the needs. And I must be willing to say, yes, thank you. God bless you. And thank the Lord that He put that burden on your heart. All of us have to have that same spirit. So the giving to meet the needs of fellow believers. And then the fourth thing, offerings for saints in other locations. Helping Christians in other locations. Look at 2 Corinthians 8 again, back in our text in verse number 1. He says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." They took up an offering. They received gifts. And then they took it for another church to help another church that was going through problems and a difficult time in that particular day. And there are times, I mentioned this morning, the church in Houston that the preacher heard about a church that was going to have to close down because they didn't have money to pay their mortgage. And the preacher called and asked that pastor and that church to come and visit their church on a Sunday night. And they took a special offering that ended up being over $80,000 they gave to that church. What were they doing? They were helping, giving offerings for saints in other locations. And we've had the opportunity to do that sometimes over the years and even over this past year to help in some specific needs of others. And so God helps us to give. And just somebody mentioned the families there in Lebanon that had lost the husbands because of the faith and some because of the attack there. And we were able to be a part of feeding those families for the last 4 months of the year. And God used us and many other churches as well to help out. And we were giving for saints in other locations. Now, let's bring this down to us personally, how it applies to us. The fact that we as God's people understand the principle of giving and that God owns it all. I want you to notice with me, first of all, we're back in 2 Corinthians 8 now again. The first thing God wants is for us to give ourself. The giving of ourself. Look with me, if you will, at verse number 5 of 2 Corinthians 8. He says, "And this they did, not as we hoped." In other words, they had collected money to give, and he said they did that, "but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." You see, some people have the idea, well, this church or that church or whatever church, all they're there for, they just want to get your money. No, that's wrong. We want to get you. Amen. God wants you to give yourself to Him. God wants to get you. He's not as concerned about your money, though if He gets you, He'll get the money too. I was telling the Willises, they used to attend a church in Withville, Virginia, that my dad started when I was a kid. And I remember one time, Dad was telling us about this, and there was a man there that he had, back when we first built the church there, we didn't have a baptistry in the church, and so we baptized in the river, and Dad was having a baptismal service one day, and there were several people that got baptized, and he was ready to finish the baptismal service. We were at the river, and all of a sudden this guy comes running down into the water, and he said, "Wait for me, preacher, wait for me." He had a suit and tie. He didn't come prepared to be baptized, but he wanted to get baptized and came in, and Dad baptized him, and Dad always kidded him through the years. He said, "You got baptized, wallet and everything," because he didn't even take his wallet out. His wallet got baptized, you know. And I say that to say this, if God gets you, He gets your wallet. Amen? If He gets you, He gets your money. We're not worried about the money. It starts out, God wants you, God wants me to give ourselves. And He says here that they started out, first gave their own self to the Lord. We give ourselves to the Lord in salvation. We trust Him as our Savior and get saved. We give ourselves to serve Him. In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, the Lord says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." God says it is the reasonable thing for us to do to give our bodies to the Lord Jesus Christ. Give yourself to Him. In Romans 6:13, He says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." So giving of yourself. And I've got to hurry to give you the rest of these. Number two, we give through human channels. We give through human channels. Look at, again, verse number 5. He says, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord," notice this, "and unto us by the will of God." They gave unto us. How do we give to the Lord? We can't say, "Okay, God, here's 20 bucks." You can't do that, right? I heard of some preachers one time that were talking about how they decided, you know, how much money went to God and how much money went to them. And one fellow said, "Well, I just draw a big circle." And he said, "I throw it up in the air, and the offering up in the air, whatever comes down in the circle, that's God's. Whatever comes outside the circle, that's mine." And another preacher said, "Well, I just take it to the steps. And I put one step is God's, and I throw it up in the air, and everything that lands on the step is God's, and everything that lands on the other steps is mine." And the third preacher said, "Well, I just throw it up in the air, and everything God wants, He takes, and everything that comes back down is mine," he said. You know, you can't just say, "Okay, God, here's 20. So how do we give? He says here to us and unto us. We give through human channels. Amen. We give unto us. We give to the church, obviously, but we're giving to the Lord through the church. We help other people with needs through the church. I was thinking of one particular situation in which we gave to help somebody this year, and it was to help to pay the rent. And those people don't even come to our church anymore. I hope they'll come back and come. But I could look at that and say, well, boy, I wasted that money. No, I didn't waste it because I didn't give it to them. I gave it through them to the Lord. Amen. So we give through a human channel. Matthew 25:40 says, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. The Lord said, when we do that to somebody else, when we give to somebody else, we're giving it unto the Lord. And then thirdly, we give according to the will of God. According to the will of God, he says at the end of that verse, and unto us by the will of God. We do it according to the will of God. Now, we need to be sensitive to the will of God. You see, some people give out of emotion. And that, there's nothing wrong with that, but make sure your emotions are in accordance with the will of God. You know, I'm like Clint said, I have it, and I hear you got a need. I'm ready to give and help, but I want to be sensitive to the Lord because I want to help people, but I don't want to be an enabler. If I had been around when the prodigal son was in the pig pen, I'd have taken him to Golden Corral and got him all he could eat. Amen? And you would too, right? Because we want to help. But God said, no, wait a minute. I have to get him in the pig pen where he has nothing to eat except the slop that the pigs are eating so I can get him to turn back to God and get right with God. So don't just give according to emotions. Ask God for wisdom. Amen? To know what he wants you to do. Some people give out of obedience, and we all ought to give out of obedience. God tells us that we're to do it. We're commanded to bring our tithes and to give, and we do it out of obedience. Some people give out of love, and we ought to give out of love. That's a part of it. So, emotions, obedience, love, but remember, all of it is in accordance to the will of God. Some people give out of faith, and that's the way all of our giving ought to be, out of faith. I'm giving to the Lord. I'm giving to you through the Lord. I'm given to the Lord through you, okay? We do the same thing with our offerings and our tithe. We bring it and we give it to the church. We give it to the Lord through the church. Amen? And we honor him and do it according to his will. Number four, the joy of giving to the Lord. Look at verse number 2. He says, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. Notice he doesn't just say their joy. He says the abundance of their joy. God will give you an abundance of joy. Acts 20 and verse 35 says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The joy that comes when we give to others and we give to others, we give to the Lord through others and he gives us joy. And then number 5, giving involves sacrifice. Giving involves sacrifice. To go back to verse number 2, he says, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. In other words, God said these folks didn't have a whole lot of money to give out of their abundance. He says they gave out of their deep poverty. Sometimes giving involves sacrifice, doesn't it? Remember David when he was going to make the sacrifices at the altar of a man named Ornan in the Old Testament, and the man said, "You're the king, David. I'll give you everything. I'll give you the farm. I'll give you the building. I'll give you the oxen. I'll give you the tool." And what did David say? David said, "I'll not offer a sacrifice to my Lord that costs me nothing." There's sacrifice sometimes involved. You know, I have to examine myself with that because sometimes, the honest truth is, many times when I give to the needs of others, many times it is out of my abundance and there's not real sacrifice. How many times do we really sacrifice in giving to the Lord? How many times have we said, you know, if I give that, I'm not going to be able to have this. But I'm going to sacrifice this for the Lord. I'm going to give out of my poverty. You know, I think about just like the man that we got the motorcycle for. He had a bicycle and many times had to walk. And man, if I had to get around on a bicycle or had to walk all the places, I'd be in trouble. And you would too. Some of us, the bicycles, we'd have to get bigger tires and put more air in them and all that kind of stuff, wouldn't we? But what a blessing just to get a motorcycle that could get him to the next village to take the gospel a little bit farther, a little bit. You know, can we sacrifice so that somebody can get the gospel to another village and to another area? Giving involves sacrifice. In Mark chapter 12, you remember the story of the widow who cast the two mites. It says there came a certain poor widow and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And if you read all of that story, you find out the Bible says, Lord said, many people gave out of their abundance, but she gave all that she had. All that she had. Have you ever given all that you had and then had to say, okay, Lord, now it's up to you? Clint, you know, in some of these missions conferences, and I've been in some of them where the Lord said, I want all that you got, right? And you get out your wallet and you give him all that you've got. And, you know, it's amazing how God provides and how he meets the needs. But sometimes sacrifice. Most of our giving is out of our abundance. We don't know a whole lot about real sacrifice. And then it's also be willingly and ungrudgingly. Verse number 3, he said, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." Our giving is to be willingly. It's to be ungrudgingly we give to the Lord. 1 Chronicles 29, 5 and 6 and says, "Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains and the thousands of hundreds and the rulers of the king's work offered willingly." Your giving is to always be willingly. God is not honored when we give and say, boy, I should have never done that. Or when we give and say, man, I wish I didn't have to do that. It's willingly. We rejoice. It's an honor to give to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's given everything for us, and we give back to him. And then it's to be according to our means. According to our means. Verse 3 again says, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." They gave for to their power. In other words, it's not out of what we have, but it is according to what we have. In other words, we don't look at, say, "What? Here's what I have, and if I take it out, I'm going to have this left." It is, here's what I have, and so according to what I have, I give to the Lord. God does not want you to borrow money to give to somebody else. Amen? It's out of what you have. And God blesses you and gives to you, and then you can give to others and you can help others. Sometimes it may mean sacrifice, as we talked about, and we may have to do without some things, and there's nothing wrong with that if we do that for the Lord, if the Lord impresses it upon our... You know, wouldn't it be wonderful if sometime you... Maybe you're saving money to buy a new suit of clothes and the Lord says, hey, there's a missionary that needs a new suit of clothes. Why don't you take that money and buy it for them and you do without the suit? I remember some years ago, Dr. Keene, who many of you know him, and I don't know if he would want me to tell this or not, but it doesn't matter if he does or not. I'm going to tell it anyway. But he was given a brand new car. And a missionary came to their church and needed a car, and Dr. Keene gave the brand new car that was given to him, gave it to the missionary. Now, you have to be careful in situations like that, because whoever gave you the car, you've got to get there okay and work all of that kind of stuff out. But what was he doing? He was sacrificing. He's saying, I'll do without this car so that the missionary can have it. See, there's some sacrifice that is involved, but we give according to our means. And then it's a privilege, not a duty. It's a privilege, not a duty. It's not I have to, it's I get to. In verse number 8, he says, "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love." But notice he starts out that verse, "I speak not by commandment." In other words, our giving to help to meet the needs of others is not by law, it is by grace. Amen? It's not by law, it's grace. See, under the law, some people say, well, we don't tithe because tithing is in the Old Testament, it's law. Well, I could preach a whole message on that to say that their New Testament talks about tithing too. But our tithing is not because the law says I got to do it. It's because God saved me and has given me eternal life. How could I ever repay him for what he's done for me? And if all he asks is my life and my service, and he says, okay, I want you to give 10%. What if I told you today, when you came into the service tonight, if I said, I'm going to give you $1,000 if you come to church tonight. But there's just one thing you got to do. You got to give me $100 back. How many of you would come to church tonight if I was going to give you $1,000? Now, I'm not giving you $1,000. Don't check me out at the door. We'd say, preacher, that's a great deal. Amen. God says, I'm going to give you all of your needs. All I want is you to give 10% back to me. And why do I give it back to the Lord? Because the Bible says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. No, I give it to the Lord because he gave everything for me on the cross at Calvary. And I give it not by law, but because of grace and love. And that brings me to the next thing, number 9, proving our love. Our giving proves our love. And he says that in that same verse, verse 8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. God proved his love by sending his son, didn't he? Amen? Now it's our turn to prove our love. And one of the ways we prove our love is by our giving. And he says here, to prove the sincerity of your love. They had made a commitment. And now it was time for them to fulfill their commitment. They loved the folks in Jerusalem. And he said, you've made a commitment to give. Now prove it by doing what you said you were going to do. Prove your love. And then it's also for Christian fellowship. We give to the needs and helping others for Christian fellowship. Verse number 4, he says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. You see, when we help each other and when we care for one another, for the needs of others, it strengthens our fellowship. And then number 11 is to be systematic and methodical. Systematic and methodical. In other words, we are to do it according to the planned way that God tells us how to do. Verse number 11, he says, now therefore, perform the doing of it. That as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is acceptable according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. So he talks about the willingness, but he says here, he says there that now therefore perform the doing of it. They had made a commitment, and he says now perform it, now do it. And we do that systematically and methodically. In 1 Corinthians 16, and verse number 1 and 2, the Lord gives instructions on how we do that methodically and systematically. Many of you know the verses there. He says in verse number 1, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, so do you. So he says, here's how we collect for the churches. Verse number 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. So we come to church on Sunday, the first day of the week. What do we do when we come? We bring our tithes. We bring our offerings, right? We do it systematically, first day of the week. And how? What are we supposed to bring? We've been already told in Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes. Bring the 10%. That's the tithe. The offerings are what we give over and above that. And so we're doing it out of according to how the Lord has blessed us, we give to him. And then finally, number 12, the motive for our giving is always to be for the glory of God. It's never to be for my self-praise or self-glory. It's always for the glory of God. In 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15, he says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. We live, we give, we work, we serve unto him for the glory of God. Whatever we do, and as we think about this month, our stewardship and our giving is to always be for the glory of God. I enjoyed the testimonies that we shared tonight. Why did we share them? To say, look at what I did, look at what I gave. No. It's to say, look at what God let me do. I think I mentioned this morning. At Christmas time, we give, as our kids were younger and growing up, they like to buy Christmas presents for dad and mom. How many of you parents give your kids some money to help them sometime or other to buy a gift for you? Anybody ever do that? A lot of you have. You gave him some money. Trevor's turned around. He wants some money to Dave, so he can buy it. Our kids buy a gift for us. Where did they get the money? They got it from us. I gave them the money. They bought something from me. Did you ever think that anything that you and I ever give to God or to others, God first gave it to us? Amen. I wouldn't have anything to give if God didn't give it to me. So why should I take any praise or credit or glory? Look at what I did. I didn't do anything. God gave it to me and allowed me to give it back to Him or to give it to others, to Him through others. And so it's nothing that I've done. It's what He has done. It is for the glory of God. And whatever you do when you're giving, make sure you do it for God's glory. Never for the praise of man, but for the glory of God. Let's bow our heads together. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Would you help us as we think about this month, this matter of stewardship and of our giving? May our hearts be filled with love and appreciation for all that you have done for us. And may we in turn have a heart to do more for you. To give out of a heart filled with love and appreciation, not because the law says I have to do it, but because of the grace of God. You have given so much for us, and we can never repay you for what you've done for us. You give to us so that we can give back to you, and then you give to us again so that we can give more, and you give us more. You said, give and it shall be given unto you. And thank you for the principles that we learn about God owning it all. We get to be stewards of it, and we get to give it for your glory. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.